This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We cover soccer all over Atlanta on ASD. We cover soccer all over the state of Georgia, all over the Southeast, the United States, this hemisphere, the planet. That's what we do. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, and it's your weekly show covering all of this. We're going to talk a lot of Atlanta United tonight. Obviously, we're getting late into preseason, about a week and a half away from the 2025 MLS season getting started at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, hosting CF Montreal on February 22nd. Not far away at all. We'll talk about where this team is right now in preseason. We're going to talk about the Eastern Conference, specifically in Major League Soccer as well. Lots of movement in the East as of late, with big-name players coming and going, and I don't really know how to give you a ranking of the East right now. I'm going to kind of give you the different tiers I see the teams in. Talk about that in the second segment, and in the final segment, y'all know how it is. It's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game. One thing that makes me smile about this game right now is what I think this season could look like for Atlanta United. Now, everything in that space at the moment is speculation. We have not seen Latte Lath on the field with Atlanta United yet, hopefully very soon. We have only seen Miguel Almiron on the field one time in the preseason match against New England on the weekend, and he looked pretty good. We haven't seen Brooks Lennon at all in preseason. Pedro Amador has been injured for most of preseason. We've seen bits and pieces of Derek Williams and Steon Gregerson, more of Williams. Gregerson has been injured quite a bit in preseason. We hadn't seen the Matej Klik-Bartosz-Szlich pairing until Saturday's match against New England. So there's still a lot of questions, and I think there's still going to be time needed once this group gets together to truly find itself. But I do think we've seen building blocks in this group, and I think we've seen elements of the way that the team will be expected to play. I think we've seen some really good things in preseason. We've seen growth every half, in my opinion. These are the things you're looking for in preseason when you don't have the entire squad as of yet. So let's go back to front. Let's talk about this team and kind of what to expect in the different position groups. I think goalkeeper's pretty easy. It's Brad Kazan's job. He had it anyway, but if there were any questions about that, the playoffs in 2024, I think honestly the entire season in 2024, but the growth from game one to the final game, Brad Kazan looked like he turned the clock back a decade. He was outstanding and not just good on a normal Brad Kazan level. He was at some of the best form of his career. So he's going to come into the season as the number one. Josh Cohen is the solid number two. Jaden Hibbert is the solid number three. If you're not subscribed to the SDH Network Soccer down here, please go check out the conversation that myself and Madison Cruz had with Jaden Hibbert during his time down in Bradenton training with the first team. He's an ambitious young goalkeeper. He's not going to factor into this job this season unless crazy things happen. You don't want to see that happen yet. You want to see Jaden Hibbert play a lot of games with Atlanta United too, but also spend more time with the first team in training and in game situations. Even if he doesn't play, just being part of the squad in those moments. You want to see that for his long-term development. I thought game one to the end of last season, you saw a lot of growth in Jaden Hibbert. I think you're hoping to see that same thing here. You want to see more consistency. The potential, the high end from Hibbert, really strong. You want to see some of the basics. You want to see some of those elements get more consistent, cleaned up a little bit, and then you might have a future number one. But he doesn't have to be that right now. Brad Kazan is that guy, and Josh Cohen is the number two. Backline. Let's talk about fullback. You haven't seen Pedro Almodóvar and Brooks Lennon on the field together in preseason yet at all. Brooks Lennon apparently is closer to rejoining the team than anyone thought at the beginning of training camp. I don't know if that means he's a contender for opening day or not. I would guess not, considering that we haven't seen him yet on the field. But, you know, the team is going to play Cincinnati tomorrow, and they're going to play Dallas on Saturday in Marietta, the Children's Health Care of Atlanta training ground. You can listen to that here on 92.9 The Game, starting at 11:50 a.m. Kickoff set for noon in that one. You can watch it at atlutd.com/live. Closed door friendly action for you on Saturday. I have not heard that Lennon is in contention to play in either one of those games, but he's further along than you thought. Amador will be the guy when he is healthy. Lennon will be the guy when he is healthy. What you've seen in preseason so far, Ronald Hernandez has been very strong. Dominic Chonqui at 17 years old has looked like he belongs, and I wonder if that changes his trajectory from an Atlanta United 2 contract this year to maybe accelerating his homegrown deal that will take effect for next year. At a minimum, he can give you a decent bit of cover with those short-term call-ups, which you have more flexibility in using this season. You have more to work with. You can do more with it. Chonqui, I think we'll see him with the first team at some point in 2025. I think he's shown that in preseason that he's ready. But when Amador's healthy, when Lennon's healthy, those are the two starters. Ronan Wynn is the other one who I think trying to earn a contract, he's very close. I think he'll be with the club. If he's on a second team deal, I think he's a guy that you could look at as potentially providing some cover with the first team. But Ronan Wynn's been very solid in what we've seen from him in preseason. Center back, you know, I mentioned Williams and Gregerson. Those are, I think, the two expected starters. Luis Abram, Noah Cobb, Efrain Morales, they've been very good. Matt Edwards has been fully a fullback in preseason, and I think he's shown that he can contribute at the first team level when he needs to. He's gotten forward well. But the center backs, I mean, Luis Abram was very good in the postseason against Miami. Noah Cobb has looked very good in preseason for the first team. Efrain Morales, I think, is going to push. Noah Cobb is going to push. The competition for who's the third guy is very strong. But Williams and Gregerson should be your starters in a four-man back line along with Amador and Lennon when all are healthy. And by midseason, by probably a month in, you should be expecting to see that group all together. So let's move into the midfield. It's Atlanta Soccer tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. We're talking Atlanta United as preseason is down to its final two games. We're a week and a half away from the season opener. The midfield, the trio there, we're talking the way that what we've seen so far from Ronnie Dyla and what I think will be his base. You know, don't be surprised if you see three center backs when matchups call for it or in certain points of games. Don't be surprised if you see some variation in this. But so far, we've generally seen a line of four defensively, two holding midfielders behind 1-10, two wingers and a forward. A 4-2-3-1, a 4-3-3, however you want to call it. That's what we have generally seen. The game against New England was the first time we saw Mateusz Klich and Bartosz Szlich paired together. I want to see more of that. Jay Fortune was outstanding for Atlanta United as the season concluded last year. He's going to push for playing time. Tristan Muyamba has been outstanding in preseason, by the way. And he struggled last season. I think he would probably tell you the same. He was much better in 23 than he was in 24. Injuries were an issue for him last season. He played through things, but he wasn't the player we saw in 23. We've seen that in preseason from him in 25, which is good to see. So Muyamba, Fortune, Szlich, Klich, four guys for two spots. Will Riley can factor into this as well, though we've seen him as the reserve 10 so far in preseason for Alexei Maranchuk. We'll put him to the side for a second. I think you've got four starting level players for two spots. It's a good problem to have, but Ronnie Dyla will have to manage that. You want to try to get those guys games. You want to try to get them minutes. You want to try to keep them motivated and up and contributing. I think you have four guys with the right mentality for this, but it's tough to stay at that same level when you're not getting any rewards on the field in playing. I wonder how much rotation we'll see. Klich is getting older. I think he comes here to be the starter, but maybe not 34 games. Maybe more like 25, 26. And you see Fortune get some starts, along with just the regular rotation or regular small injuries that kind of happen throughout a season. But my guess is you are going to give Klich and Szlich every opportunity to be the starting pairing in that holding midfield. I think they complement one another well. I liked the elements we saw in the match against New England on the weekend. Let's move to the attack, and we'll include Alexei Maranchuk in this category. So a 10, two wingers, a striker. We haven't seen Latte Lath yet. We've seen the videos of him being wowed by the stadium, wowed by the training ground. Can't wait to see him on the field. Haven't seen it yet. So far, so good from Kamen Togashi and Jamal Tiare. I think both have been good in preseason. Tiare got the goal on Saturday off of a great free kick from Maranchuk. You have solid reserves at striker. Latte Lath will have a big hand in determining how far Atlanta United goes in 2025. There's no way around it. You're talking about a guy who's capable of 20-plus goals in this league. And the higher that number is, the more likely this is a team that's playing deep, deep, deep into the calendar and chasing a trophy at the end of the season. So let's talk about the wingers. We've seen Miguel Almiron now. He played against New England. We've seen Saba. Saba's been industrious. He maybe hasn't been the most productive in preseason, but he's been industrious. For me, with Almiron, with Maranchuk, with Saba, and the way we saw it on Saturday against New England, it was Saba on the left, cutting it on the right foot. It was Almiron on the right, cutting it on the left foot. And it was Maranchuk, the other lefty, drifting. Almiron drifting. Saba more to the left, but drifting. Those three will have to find common ground, and they're going to have to build chemistry as they go. I do think we've seen Maranchuk improve every game so far in preseason. He's going to have so many more options and players to combine with and to help flourish in this Atlanta United team with Almiron's running, with Saba's running, with Latte Lath's running. He's got three willing runners around him to play in behind, but also guys, especially in Saba from the left cutting in on his right foot, Miggy from the right cutting in on his left foot, guys who are going to be cutting in to combine with him. And if there's anything that I think we've learned about Alexei Maranchuk so far in his short time in Atlanta, this is an incredibly technical player, a very talented player on the ball. And he's a guy who likes to give the ball up. He doesn't need 70, 80 touches a game. He doesn't need to attempt 10 dribbles a game. That's not really him. He's a guy who can break a team's back with a pass. Go back to the Red Bulls game where he sent Tyler Wolf in. He's a guy who can score spectacular goals. He's a guy that I think as the talent around him has gotten better, he will be better. So I like how all of that looks on paper. But we haven't seen Lafayette, Maranchuk, Almiron, Saba. We haven't seen it yet. So to sit here and tell you that's the best attacking quartet in the league, I can guess and say that they're up there. I think they have the potential to be. But you have to see how Saba runs off of Lafayette and how Almiron cuts in to combine with Maranchuk and how they all switch and interchange. You have to see that before I think we know how good this team can be. I think on paper they're very, very good. Chemistry is the undefinable thing when we talk about building a team. Doesn't show up in any metrics, doesn't show up in any numbers. Do they naturally fit together, or you're going to need a little sandpaper? You're going to need to figure it out, maybe move things around a little bit, maybe tweak. Are you going to need to do that as you go, or are they going to fit together perfectly? We're going to find out sooner rather than later, and I can't wait to see what this group can look like, and I just can't wait to see the whole process for how it's all going to come together. But it's been a good preseason for Atlanta United. Two more games. Saturday, you'll be able to listen to the game against Dallas here on 92.9 The Game. Coming up next on AST, we're going to talk about the Major League Soccer Eastern Conference. A lot of moves tonight that are getting talked about that are very close to getting done and becoming official. We will talk about the balance of power in the East coming up next on AST in 5 minutes on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Told you we were going to take a look at the MLS Eastern Conference here in this segment. The balance of power has potentially shifted tonight. It's going to be very interesting to see how moves that sound like they're being finalized, you're getting confirmations on things, nothing's been officially announced yet, but a very important player leaving, a very important player coming into the East, lots of stuff happening. So let's just start with where we finished last season in the Eastern Conference. And just a really quick thought on up or down, where these teams are in the table. So Miami won the East last season. They're going to be in contention to win the East again. We can quibble about how good they'll be and will they get 74 points again, which is a record. I don't know. Are they in contention to win the East? Absolutely. Columbus is second last season. I don't think they're second right now. Cucho Hernandez gone. Christian Ramirez gone. Going to be gone. I can't keep up if that's done or not. It's been talked about going to the LA Galaxy for a while. All right. Columbus is not going to be the same. They can't be right now. They don't have a striker. Not at that level. So Columbus down. Cincinnati. They were third. I'm going to leave them there for right now. We're going to come back to Cincinnati in just a minute. We'll talk about the news of the evening. Orlando fourth. Probably a decent ballpark to be looking at again for 25. Charlotte fifth, I think a decent ballpark for them to be looking at for 2025. New York City sixth, Santiago Rodriguez might not be back. And in general, I was kind of underwhelmed by NYC last season. We'll see. Red Bull's seventh, they're going to be higher if they stay healthy. Emil Forsberg, when he played, this was a team that was second in the East in terms of points per game. When he didn't, they were nowhere near where they finished, which was seventh. They got to MLS Cup. They're very, very good. They could be better. They've upgraded on the back line a little bit, I think. Red Bulls will be higher than seventh if all goes to plan. Montreal eighth, that's probably about right. Atlanta ninth, nope, they're going to be higher than that. We'll find out how much higher, but I think they're definitely going to be higher. Then you get into DC, Toronto, Philadelphia, Nashville, New England, Chicago, and I don't know if any of them have, I mean, like out of those six, could Chicago go from 15th to 10th? Yeah, absolutely. Will they go from 15th to 7th and avoid the play-in? I don't know about that. New England, they have 14 new players. They have some promising players. They have some things that I like. They have a lot of questions. Nashville has a good number of questions. Philadelphia has a good number of questions. Toronto, I don't even know where to begin with the questions. DC, will they be better under the second year of Troy Lesane? Can they be a playoff team? Yeah, maybe. So looking at the East, in general, I kind of look at it in four tiers. Maybe five if we leave Toronto in their own tier, because I think they might end up being in their own tier. So Toronto at the back. Then it's Montreal, Philadelphia, Chicago, New England, Nashville, DC. I mean, flip a coin? I think Chicago could be the best of that group. I think Montreal could be the best of that group. New England, I have no idea where to put them right now. I don't really know what to do with Nashville. DC losing Click, I think, is going to really hurt them. I put all of those teams down a level. Tier three, Columbus, Cincinnati, New York City. Now, Cincinnati might be higher based off some of the conversation tonight. We'll get there in a second. I don't think they have a lot of depth, though, and that's going to be an issue for Cincinnati. NYC at the back of that group. Columbus, they've got to fill some holes. Tier two, Red Bulls, Orlando, Charlotte, in my opinion. Charlotte, if they start Patrick Adjiman, could really surprise people. For some reason, they were reluctant to do that last season. I think they're going to have to this year, and they should get the reward for it. We'll see how the other pieces fit. I think they can be better. I think Dean Smith needs to be a little more open with that team. I think they have some potential. They also, defensively, have some potential to slip a little bit. They do, in my opinion. I think Tim Ream playing left back could be a bit of an issue against some opponents. Orlando, look, we got to see what Marco Pasalic ends up being from Croatia. Can he be Facundo Torres? Can he be close to Facundo Torres? It's asking a lot. I do like Orlando's addition of Eduard Atuesta from Palmeiras, formerly of LAFC. I think that's a nice piece, especially with Wilder Cartagena injured and not quite sure how long he's going to be out. Orlando's going to have to get more from Luis Muriel to be in that 2-3-4-5 conversation. Duncan McGuire is going to be injured for the first portion of the season. Ramiro Enrique, does he take another step forward? That'd be a big ask. He was pretty good last year. You're going to need more from Muriel. You just have to get it. If you want to be a top team in the East, Muriel is going to have to give Orlando more. Red Bulls already said it. I think they're a really good team, and they're only going to be better in 25 over the entire course of the season, because I think they'll be healthier. Backline could be better with some new additions. Tim Parker, I don't know how much he adds to that group in general, but he adds some veteran leadership. If you're not asking him to play every day, I think he could be a nice addition for them. And tier one, I've left two teams out that I haven't talked about yet in Atlanta and Miami, and I think they're the two most talented teams in the East. Yeah, I'm probably a little biased, but they're the two most talented teams in the East. Don't think that's a wide stretch. I think Atlanta has more depth. I think Miami has the GOAT, and they have some other borderline GOATs. They don't have as much depth as Atlanta. They don't have as much depth as a few other teams. Cincinnati is going to be the one that will be fascinating to me. And a lot of it is down to what has happened this evening in terms of what's being reported. They are on the verge, finalizing a blockbuster deal, according to Tom Bogert of Give Me Sport, to acquire Evander from the Portland Timbers. $12 million plus add-ons. Remember the cash for player trade rule that is now in effect in Major League Soccer. You can go and buy a player from another MLS team rather than sending them GAM or TAM or WAM or YAM. You can just send cash. Randy Moss would be happy about that. Straight cash, homie. Portland's getting a lot of that. $12 million. Now, Cincinnati, to make room to bring Evander in, will be moving Luciano Acosta to Dallas. Lucho said he might not come back at the end of last season. I think people kind of glossed over that. Then he was linked with a move to Estudiantes and Foster Gillette, who is the son of the former Liverpool owner who nearly put the club into bankruptcy. Foster has went down to South America and is in the process of investing or buying or partially investing or buying part of or whatever. Maybe multiple clubs, but Estudiantes has been one that's been linked. They tried to hijack a whole bunch of different moves, got a couple things done. They tried to get Luciano Acosta to come to Estudiantes and talk to him and talk to him and talk to him and talk to him, and he didn't get a deal done. By that time, the windows were closed, so you had an unhappy Lucho who was already unhappy and probably even more unhappy about not getting this deal to Estudiantes over the line. He didn't want to go back to Cincinnati. He was training on the side. They had to move him because they'd already kind of sort of agreed to the move with Evander in Portland. I know this is complicated. They finally have to get all of it done. They're going to get $5 million, it sounds like, from Dallas for Lucho. There's bonuses involved. So you're essentially, if you're Cincinnati, and we'll talk about their other additions in Danke and getting Orejano on a permanent deal and adding an Engel at left wing back. Talk about that in a second. But you're swapping Lucho Acosta for Evander, and you're spending $7 million to do it. I don't know if you've gotten better with that move. I might be wrong, and I will put my hand up if midseason it's different. If end of the season it's different, I will put my hand up. And we can come back here and talk about it. You can clip it. You can send it to me. I don't care. That's fine. Wouldn't be the first time. Won't be the last. But I'm not fully convinced that Cincinnati is a better team with Evander pulling the strings as the 10 instead of Lucho Acosta. Now, better than an unhappy Lucho Acosta, who not even allegedly, I mean, he pretty much said it, did not like his boss in Chris Albright, the general manager. Yeah, probably so. But is Evander a better player in this league than Luciano Acosta? I'm just not sure of that. I don't think so. I think Lucho could go down as one of the most impressive, impactful players in MLS history. He's got that. And I think he was perfect for this team and Pat Noonan. Can Evander be that? We're going to find out really quick because there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on it. $12 million puts a lot of pressure on your back. This Cincinnati team, and this is what the post Cincinnati has posted as a proposed starting lineup for this group, feels pretty decent. They don't have a lot of depth, by the way. That's going to be an issue for them. They do not have much depth in this team. We saw it last year at center back where they had a bunch of injuries at center back. That could be a huge problem for them this season in an Eastern Conference that is pretty loaded. But you're looking at Roman Celentano in goal, one of the better goalkeepers in the league. You're looking at Engel coming over from Newcastle or from Middlesbrough, and then you're looking at DeAndre Yedlin as your wingbacks in a 5-3-2. Good. You're looking at Matt Miazga back from injury. Very, very good. Also, very, very stick of dynamite. Could blow up in your face. See how that goes. Miles Robinson. Good player, obviously. I don't know if he's as good as he used to be. I wonder if the Achilles has I know it's fully healed, but I wonder if he can be the same player that he was. I don't think he looked great with the national team in the January camp, and that doesn't mean a whole lot until it does. Let's see. Let's see how all that works. Teenage Hadebe will be the other center back, a guy who had opportunities in Houston and is now in Cincinnati. The midfield, good behind Evander in Pavel Buka and Obina Wobido, with Evander as the 10, with a $16.2 million transfer forward Kevin Danke coming in, and Luca Orejano. It's a very good team. It's a very good team, but are they as good or better than Miami? I don't think so. Are they as good or better than Atlanta? Jury's out on both. Look, Cincinnati with Evander and with Danke and with Engel, I don't know. Good on paper. Atlanta with Almiron and Latelath and a full season of Maranchuk and Click, really good on paper. I think it's better on paper, but we don't play the games on paper. So those are your two bigger upside question marks in the Eastern Conference, Atlanta and Cincinnati. I want to see a little more from Cincinnati before I put them into tier one. I think with the moves tonight that are not official, but are all but official, I feel comfortable with Cincinnati in tier two, along with the Red Bulls, Orlando, and Charlotte. So I think your top six teams in the East, in some permutation, are Atlanta, Miami, Red Bulls, Orlando, Charlotte, Cincinnati. Big questions on Columbus, big questions on NYC, and then a group of teams that one of them will probably pop up and have a good season. One or two of them will fall apart and have really bad seasons, and the rest will just be where they are, out of Montreal and Philadelphia and Chicago and New England and Nashville and DC and Toronto. But I think it's between Atlanta, Miami, Red Bulls, Orlando, Charlotte, Cincinnati in the Eastern Conference as it is currently constructed. I do want to see what Columbus does in replacing Cucho Hernandez and Christian Ramirez, because if you get the right guy, then that could be a team that jumps back up with a great manager in Wilfred Nancy. We will see. It's going to be a fun season in the East. I think it might not be as good top to bottom as it was in 2024, but I think it might be more competitive at the top than it was in 2024. So stay tuned. Week and a half to go. Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, it's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, 4 headlines from around the world, and 3 things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app. A little later than you might be accustomed to finding us. Maybe a little soccer pirate radio at this stage of the evening. I'm Jason Longshore, and those of you who know this show know how we end it every single week. It's the 3-4-3 brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. 3 local stories, 4 headlines, 3 things that make me smile about this game. Let's start on the local side. And this is a wild one. Cooper Sanchez of Atlanta United 2, product of the Atlanta United Academy. He started last night for the U.S. U-17s in World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF against the U.S. Virgin Islands. The U.S. won. Big. Really big. Record-setting big. The U.S. U-17s beat the U.S. Virgin Islands U-17s 22-0. Yes. 22-0. The U.S. had a player who scored 10 goals. Cooper did not score 10 goals. Cooper started and didn't really have a lot to do defensively. Did just fine. 22-0. Yeah, they'll get tested a little bit more against St. Kitts and Nevis and against Cuba. But the U.S. U-17s should be booking their spot in November's U-17 World Cup off the back of a 22-0 win. Number 2 on the local side, Brentford FC of the Premier League. They were in town over the weekend as part of their partnership with SSA and Swarm FC. Things continue to develop in this partnership. I moderated a discussion on Thursday with young players and Jack Collison, SSA's director of methodology, former Welsh international. Brentford legend and ambassador Marcus Gale was along for the ride as well. It was a great conversation. It was really cool to hear from some folks afterwards. You never know how those are going to go. The kids had great questions as well, but everyone was really engaged. I thought Marcus and Jack were both, you know, a lot of fun to talk to. We got into some serious stuff. We got into some fun stuff. It was a really good conversation, and I'm really excited to see how this partnership continues to grow. Brentford is an ambitious, very forward-thinking club, and I think that is something that SSA is trying to tap into and will be the same. So I'm looking forward to seeing how all this goes. As Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported from a conversation with SSA's executive director, Simon Davey, and with Marcus Gale, the club will be doing some tryouts in England for their upcoming USL League 2 team this summer, maybe potentially the USLW League team as well that will play this summer over in Austell. Keep an eye on what's going on with SSA and Brentford. Really exciting partnership that is developing here in the Atlanta area. Number three, the high school soccer season is underway. It started last night officially with games that count. Bunch of games tonight. I'll give you a whole bunch of scores. And as you listen to AST, if your kids are involved in playing high school, if you're a high school coach, send us your scores for the Tuesday night show. You can tag me on social media at Longshoe. You can tag the station at 929 The Game. Let us know what happens with your school in your game, and we'll talk about it on Atlanta Soccer Tonight every Tuesday. So, on the boys' side, Heritage of Conyers, they beat North Oconee 3-0. Lambert beat East Coweta 4-0. Walton's boys beat Hillgrove 3-1. Allatoona's boys beat North Paulding 3-2. Gilmer, they beat Murray County 3-2. Norcross beat Mill Creek 3-0. Chapel Hill's boys beat South Paulding 1-0. Lassiter beat North Cobb 2-1. Duluth beat Discovery 4-0. Locust Grove, they went on the road to Fayette County, and they won 2-1. Johnson of Gainesville, their boys beat West Hall 3-0 for the 17th straight time. Carrollton's boys, they beat South Cobb 3-2. And Johns Creek, their boys won 5-0 over Wheeler. On the girls' side, West Forsyth, one of the defending state champions, they beat Chamblee 5-0 on the road. North Gwinnett's girls won 9-2 over Mountain View. Buford, they beat Cherokee Bluff 5-0. They lost in that state championship game to West Forsyth last year. Kennesaw Mountains girls beat Marietta 2-1. North Oconee beat Heritage 8-0. Cahulla Creek, they went on the road to Calhoun and won 3-2. Walker beat North Cobb Christian 2-1. Pike County's girls beat Grovetown 4-0. Locust Grove beat Fayette County 3-0. Roswell beat River Ridge 3-1. Brookwood beat Stars Mill 4-0. Dutchtown's girls beat Union Grove 5-0, and Northside Columbus, their girls beat LaGrange 2-0. Our featured game of the night, because we do games on the SDH network, North Atlanta at Decatur. On the girls' side, North Atlanta's girls won 3-0, a goal and an assist for Jonah Purse. She plays for Puerto Rico's U17 national team. Really good performance from Pierce. On the boys' game, it went to a shootout. 1-1 draw. North Atlanta won the shootout. We'll be heavily involved from the SDH network side of things with the Creek Cup that starts tomorrow at Northview. We'll continue at Northview through Saturday, and we'll also start at Johns Creek on Thursday. Some of the best teams in the state playing in this event. Every team will get two games. It's kind of a semifinal-final situation. Really looking forward to seeing these games and this kind of a level. If you're interested in the Creek Cup, you can listen to all the games on the SDH network, but also check out the conversation I had late last week with Kelly Bowler, the head coach at Johns Creek, where he talked about putting this event together and a lot of the why to put in all the work to put this kind of an event together. Really cool conversation, really cool event. If you're looking for great soccer in the Atlanta area this weekend, Johns Creek High School, Northview High School, tons of games. Four headlines from around the world in the 3-4-3. Number one, Champions League. Real Madrid, they came back to win 3-2 on the road at Manchester City. Sets up a really interesting second leg next week in Spain. They're calling this the modern Clasico because these teams keep playing each other in the Champions League lately. Jude Bellingham, he had the injury time winner. That gives Madrid the edge going back home. Juventus, they won 2-1 over PSV. Weston McKennie scored the first goal for Juve. Dortmund, they thumped Sporting 3-0 in Lisbon, pretty much all but done. PSG, same thing. They beat Brest 3-0 as well. Both of those winners were on the road. So the second leg, you feel like it's pretty academic. Tomorrow's games in this knockout phase, Club Brugge, they host Atalanta. That's a 12:45 Eastern time start. Monaco hosts Benfica. Celtic hosts Bayern. Feyenoord hosts Milan. Those games all kick at 3 o'clock. The Bruges-Atalanta game is the early one. A couple of things to keep in mind here when we talk about these matchups. Bruges, they are winless in their last 15 games against teams from Serie A. Atalanta, they only lost one time in the league phase, and they recently had a 15-match unbeaten streak snapped. Celtic and Bayern? Celtic's unbeaten in Europe at home this season. Bayern have lost three games away, but Bayern hasn't lost to a Scottish team since 1989. Feyenoord, they conceded the most goals of the 24 teams that progressed. They host Milan in this game, so you might be looking at the over in this one. Milan, they haven't won any of their last 11 away matches in knockout rounds in the Champions League. Some interesting nuggets there for you when we talk about the Champions League games tomorrow. Second legs next week. Number two on the headlines, U.S. Women's National Team, Emma Hayes. She picked her 23-player roster for the She Believes Cup. That was announced today. Emphasized opportunity across the depth of the playing pool. Kat Macario is back. She had been named to the Olympic squad, had to pull out of that due to irritation in her knee. She scored 5 goals in 13 games for Chelsea this season. She's been fairly consistent. Kat Macario getting back into that group could be very, very interesting. No triple espresso in this group. The roster, very heavily European as well, because NWSL's in its offseason. Teams are just starting to ramp up. European leagues are ongoing. So a much more European-flavored roster here. And also, look, I think Emma Hayes is looking at the depth of the squad. 10 players in this roster have 4 or fewer caps. One player I'll be really looking forward to seeing in the She Believes Cup, Yasmin Ryan. I thought she was great in the last games for the U.S. Women's National Team. She's got an opportunity to really climb the depth chart. Excited to see Yasmin Ryan get that in the She Believes Cup. Number three on the headlines. We've talked about this before with European and South American competitions and games that mean something, not friendlies, being played in the United States. Well, that took a big step forward on the Champions League side because of the way that UEFA is now going to sell the commercial and media rights to its club competitions. So they are negotiating with Relevant Sport to exclusively sell UEFA's club competitions globally. Relevant previously was only responsible for selling the media rights in North America. Other groups maintain the rest of the world. Relevant is now going to get that opportunity. Controlled by Stephen Ross, owner of the Miami Dolphins, Relevant has tried to bring European club matches, league play, cup competition to the U.S. They haven't been able to do it yet. FIFA cannot stop them now. You've got a lot of European football's higher-ups not wanting this to happen because they worry that it would happen a lot. But you also have others saying, yeah, we want to go chase that money. So if you see a Champions League final in the United States, a UEFA Champions League final in the United States, sometime in the next 5 years, don't be shocked. Do not be shocked. Number four on the headlines, U.S. soccer, and this is effective in March of this year, they have updated their referee abuse prevention policy. This is really important for soccer in the United States because 90% of referees report that referee abuse has increased over the last 5 years. That's almost every referee says that it's gotten worse. 60% of referees, they don't recertify due to harassment, threats, abuse. You can't get better referees if you run good referees off. And as somebody who has served on the discipline and protest committees for youth and for adult in the state of Georgia, you didn't have clear guidelines, especially on the referee abuse side of things in the past. Now you do. And now those guidelines are stricter. You break them, you're going to get punished for a longer period of time. My response? Good. Don't act the fool on the sideline if you're a coach, if you're a player, if you're a parent. Don't do it. There's no reason. It doesn't do anybody any good. Don't act out. Don't act that way. Don't act out. Don't. Because you hurt the game. And more than anything, with young referees especially, you run them off. And you give them a bad experience. If you love this game, if you really love it, you want new referees to stick with it and find their best level. We've got some really good referees in Georgia. Guido Gonzalez is one of the best in Major League Soccer. He's from Georgia. You've got others who are getting great opportunities from Georgia. We want to see more and more and more of that. Don't run referees off. I'm really happy about U.S. Soccer doing this. I think it's a good step for the game. Quickly, three things that make me smile about this game. Beyond that, number one, a huge event on Saturday. It's called the Soccer Friends Matter Tournament. It's a 4v4 tournament for adults. It's going to be on Saturday in Roswell at Groveway Community Park. All the proceeds benefit Ignite Hope - Champions for Children. Check our Soccer Down Here platform. Check Georgia Soccer as well for information on how you can get involved. They are looking for volunteers. They are looking for individual players to help fill out some of these teams. Really cool opportunity to do a little bit of soccer for some good. Number two, 10 new mini pitches, $865,000 in grants were announced last week by the Atlanta United Community Fund, covering mini pitches and fields all over the state of Georgia. So many kids, adults will get more opportunities to play because of these fields. That grows the game. And we're at a point where this game is on the verge of having explosive growth with a World Cup coming in about 18 months. You got to have more places to play. The Atlanta United Community Fund and their partners are creating more places for people to play. Third thing that makes me smile, getting a chance to call a high school game tonight. That was a lot of fun calling the girls game with North Atlanta and Decatur. Really good performance. Just seeing players who, you know, you might not hear of in some of these teams and what they do and seeing them perform at such a high level and then getting to follow them as they go on to college. Seeing a player like, you know, Jana Pierce, who is a youth international with Puerto Rico, have a goal and an assist and have a great performance. Seeing teams that are now playing really coherent styles of play, good game models, really good soccer. It was a good performance tonight on not the best of weather and not the best of fields because of the weather. And North Atlanta's girls were very, very good. The boys' game was very entertaining as well with North Atlanta and Decatur. So happy that high school soccer is back. So happy that preseason soccer for Atlanta United is almost done. One more game on Saturday. You'll be able to hear it here live on 92.9 The Game. Noon kick will be on the air at 11:50 a.m. Myself, Jared Smith will be joining me for this one. We'll be calling it from Marietta, the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Training Ground, Atlanta and Dallas. And then next Tuesday, I'll be back to talk about all of it on another edition of AST. Y'all have a good rest of the evening. Adios, everybody.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.